Thanks for tuning in to our podcast, Leaders, Followers, and everything in between. We love having you here. It is our mission to bring you all of the latest and greatest tips and skills and know-how and how to make your personal life and business life the very best it can be. We know that you have it in you. We believe in you. We just want to show you how.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with a big fish. He's a whale. It's often said that it takes 20 years to become an overnight success. He's been at it for a long time, adding value to so many people's lives. He has gotten such prestigious awards. He's a speaker that's won awards. He's also been an expert speaker for General Electric, Ford Motor Company, Honda, the Urban League, the United States Postal Service, the State of Kentucky Leadership Conference. He is a John Maxwell Leadership Team speaker. He's also a Les Brown Platinum speaker. He's traveled all over the world adding values to companies, showing them they have a purpose and that they have a GPS. We have the honor of hosting him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with me one of the most excitable speakers in the United States, in fact, in the world today. His name is Kareem Ellis. How are you doing today, Kareem?
Listen, with an introduction like that, if I was any lighter, I'd blush. I love it. The honor is mine to be here with you today, man. Absolutely.
Well, your reputation certainly precedes you. Now, every superhero has a native story. You know and recall that Spider-Man gets bitten by a spider, then he turns and metamorphosizes into a spider. What is Kareem Ellis's native story? I'm very curious about that.
Absolutely. So my native story actually starts back at the age of 26. I'm in my 40s now. We're gonna leave that digit as it is. But at the age of 26, I went through a real tough setback season. I went through coming out of a relationship that was very tumultuous, ended up being homeless for about 90 days, sleeping out of the car, forced to move back home and sleep in my parents' basement, end up losing my job. I owed everybody money. The car got repossessed. The credit cards got shut down. The bank account got closed out. And at my lowest moment, I was ready to give up everything, including the hope. And the thing that turned it around for me was two things. Number one, my belief in God. And then number two was understanding that I was put here on purpose, with purpose, by purpose, for purpose. So as the old folks say all the time, baby, you got knocked up. You've been knocked up with purpose. The question I had for myself was, what am I supposed to be giving birth to? And so that's where we get the concept of GPS, my success. I tell everyone that your life mirrors that of a GPS. Mm. And a GPS is absolutely useless until you physically decide to give it an address. So the question I have for you in this season, because right now we're in a tough year. We're in the year 2020. It's a tough year. A lot of people have gone through economic downturns. People have been laid off. People have been let go. Folks are behind on their mortgage payments. Folks behind on rent. Folks have passed away. We've got people dealing with all types of despair. The government's dictated whether you've been essential or non-essential in this season. My question for you is this: no matter what you face in this season, what address have you put inside your life's GPS? Because the address you put inside the GPS will ultimately determine your destination.
Wow. I remember reading a comic strip, and the comic strip said this: if you don't have any direction of where you're going, nothing else matters in life. And it's so true. So what state and city did you grow up in?
So I was actually born in Gary, Indiana, right? And everyone knows the one famous individual that came out of Gary is the one and only Michael Jackson. There you go. So I was born in Gary, Indiana, and we moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, roughly around the age of 5 or 6. So I've been a Cincinnati native ever since.
Wow, Cincinnati, Ohio. And are you the only child, or how is that dynamic going?
Oh, wow. No, there are 9 of us. There are
how many?
9 of us totally.
And where do you fall in that category?
So I am, at this stage of the game, I'm the third oldest.
Okay.
So I got two siblings older than me, and then I fall in line as number 3.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. So you said once that you spent 26 years misplaced. In other words, 26 years not on purpose. Describe that for us.
Well, here's the thing that I've learned growing up. As a child growing up, going to school, I was always asked, what do you want to be? I was always told, get a good education. So that way you can get a good job and then you can take care of yourself, take care of your family. So we were always, and that's for everyone on this call, everyone watching this podcast, we're always told to get education, get education, get education. No one sits down and asks you, what's the reason why you're here? What is your purpose? I have never had anyone from kindergarten to 12th grade, even through college years, come to me and say, Kareem Ray Ellis, what is your purpose? What is the reason why you're here? And so one of the things I learned from being up under Les Brown is most of us are guilty of living what he calls a misplaced life. If I don't know the reason why I'm here, I will settle and adjust to and adopt anything and everything that comes along. For a lot of my life, I was in jobs I had no business being in. It had nothing to do with my gift, my talent, my calling, and my passion. I entertained romantic relationships with people I had no business being in a relationship with because they had nothing to do with my gift, my talent, my time, my passion, or most importantly, my purpose. So when I get clear on purpose living, when I know what address is in my GPS, it gives me the ability to navigate between where I should be, where I shouldn't be, who I should connect with, who I should not connect with. Having a vision dictates the education you should be going after. It dictates how you should be spending your time. It dictates the relationships you should be involved in, both on the romantic scale, but also on the personal relationship, the connection, the business relationship, because we know the most valuable currency in the world is relationship capital. So when I know where I'm going, it allows me to measure the resources needed for the journey. And more importantly, lets me know who shouldn't be involved in this leg of the race. Because a lot of us are carrying along baggage that should not be there in this season.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Ellis. There's a lot of people, they're in their 40s, some in their 50s, some in their 60s. Mm-hmm. And they're a little bit embarrassed to actually admit that they don't know their purpose. What would you say to someone like that, that you know, that is a little bit older in age, they're not a spring chicken. They feel like if they at 46 or they at 52 or 62 admit that they don't know their purpose, that will reveal some sort of betrayal or some sort of admission of failure. What would you say to someone like that?
So the first thing is this, you have to change the perceived value of how you see yourself. The problem with most of us, we measure our value by what the world standard is. We have to understand Colonel Sanders didn't hit his stride until he was already collecting the Social Security check. And a lot of people don't figure that out. He did not hit his stride until he was collecting Social Security. So you're never too old to be successful where you figure it out at the age of 15 or you figure it out at the age of 57 or 67 or 82. You're never too old. The second thing is this. Number one, you got to congratulate yourself. And here's the reason why. What I have learned in my journey is simply this. You cannot conquer what you refuse to confront. With most people that are living a misplaced life, it's not that they're not even aware that they're not walking in purpose. Because of the example you gave to me, a lot of them are fearful to address the topic. So what I tell people is this, you can't conquer what you won't confront. There's a moment in everyone's life where you have to take a look at your situation, your circumstances, your surrounding, and look at the folks around you. Look at the life you're supposed to have versus what you're settling for, because most of us operate out of a comfort zone on a regular basis. And we have to tell ourselves, this is not good enough.
Would you say if someone applies your GPS program, they will move from their comfort zone into their faith zone? Would you say that?
Absolutely. And the reason why I love the concept of the GPS, you understand that if you want to go someplace you've never been before and all you have is an address, there's nothing you can physically do to control the GPS, right? You put the address in, but by faith, you have to believe the GPS is working in your best interest to get you from where you are to where you want to be. The wildest journey I took in the last 5 years, I drove from Cincinnati, Ohio to Oklahoma to speak to the Oklahoma Department of Transportation. Don't ask me why I didn't fly. I physically drove and it was 12 something hours. I've never been to that location. So by faith, I have to believe that when I input this address, the GPS is not only going to get me on the right track, but get me there in the intended time frame. That's all by faith. I don't have any ability to manipulate the GPS or control the GPS. So when you start chasing your purpose, when you chase that vision, faith is a necessary element. It's a necessity that you apply it, understanding you are going to arrive at your intended destination. Absolutely.
I love that you say that, faith. And we have a very mutual friend that says, a person that is not tested can't be trusted. And I know you've been tested, right?
Yes.
So I want you to tell me, what is the greatest adversity you have personally felt in your life? And the second part of the question is this: how did you, Kareem Ellis, overcome that challenge?
So the greatest adversity I've ever faced was what I told you that happened to me back at 26. Because with a lot of us, we have our mindset on what type of life we think we're going to live, right? Mm-hmm. We think we're going to find the perfect person. We're going to settle down. We're going to create a family unit. We're going to find a great paying job with a great title, and everything is going to be fine. We're going to get the house with the picket fence, the 2-car garage, the 3 dogs. Somehow I still got the 3 dogs. But I went through a season of separation. And this is so important because a lot of people are here right now where you have been separated against your will. Separation to me can happen one or two ways. You can voluntarily separate yourself from people, places, and things, or you can be forcefully separated from people, places, and things. And this was a relationship where I was forcefully separated. It was against my will. I was removed from my comfort zone. And you have to understand, when I speak about this, I talk more so in the spiritual realm, that separation is the first ingredient towards your success. Oftentimes, you have to be pulled out of your comfort zone, because a lot of times we don't know we're operating inside a comfort zone. Mm. And you can't hit your peak potential inside of a comfort zone. After separation, for me, came isolation. That was when I was in the car, sleeping in the car for 90 days, forced to go back home. And all my friends treated me like a pariah. Nobody wanted to hang out with me to get my mind off of the financial setback, the challenges, the relationship setback. Oftentimes, isolation puts you down with only yourself. I compare it to a butterfly emerging from a cocoon. You understand, before that butterfly comes out the cocoon, it starts off in caterpillar stage. And when that caterpillar gets separated from the rest of the other caterpillars out there, and it goes into the cocoon, we go into a period of isolation where nobody's inside that cocoon but the caterpillar. So it's in this stage where it opens up the gateway for level 3, which is transformation. This is where you get the insight, the wisdom from your previous bad choices, previous decisions. You get ideas that come to you when you're on your own or one-on-one with God, where you get what I call a mental download, as long as you got the right Wi-Fi strength, where you can figure out, what's my next step? What's my next move? What direction should I be going on? What should I be looking for? And when transformation is finished up, then we have elevation. That's where you walk into your wealthy place. That's where you walk into your level of ascension. So for me, going through that setback, going through that separation, going through that hardship where I lost it all and was forced to move back home, that was the key element: separation, isolation, where you get to know who you really are. Then transformation, where you grow your wings. And then most importantly comes elevation. Now, I got to add something in here because I want people to grasp this, because, again, we're in a season where a lot of people have been going through separation. My job let me go and I didn't ask for it. The relationship, I'm looking at a divorce or a separation and I didn't ask for it. You know, I'm falling out with family and friends and I didn't ask for it. I got health challenges I'm dealing with right now and I didn't ask for it. So a lot of people are going through separation. And I tell everyone, separation is the key to your growth. Separation, isolation, transformation, and elevation. Now, one key thing, if you look at a butterfly, when the transformation takes place in the cocoon, the butterfly cannot be aided on breaking out of that cocoon. Mm. If I see that cocoon starting to shiver and wiggle around, I go, well, I'm going to help this butterfly out. Let me crack the cocoon open for him and make it easier for him to climb out. The problem is this: in order for a butterfly to be able to physically fly, when it begins to emerge out of the cocoon, the wings actually rub up against the outer shell of the cocoon. And when the rubbing takes place, it stimulates the blood flow to the wings, which allows the butterfly to fly. If the butterfly doesn't go through that exit process on its own, it will emerge with wings, but it cannot soar. It cannot soar. So when you're coming out of transformation, you have to be aware that you can't wait on someone else to break you out of the cocoon. You have to go through the transformation process on your own, unless you just want to look like a pretty picture that carries very little value.
Wow, that was very deep that you said, Brother Kareem. And you talked about the struggle. You're transformed by the struggle. In other words, your struggle did not come to hurt you. Your struggle has came to help you, in the sense that it's come to elevate you.
Now, absolutely.
Now, you've been a John Maxwell speaker, which means that you're one of the top elite speakers on leadership in the world. You're also a Les Brown Platinum speaker. You've also spoken with Fortune 500 companies, and help them and the United States Postal Service. Now, there are a lot of coaches out there.
Mm.
Why would somebody say, I'm going to pick you? There are a lot of speakers out there. Why would someone say, I'm going to pick you? What would you say to someone that has that question?
I got a smile on my face because I love this question, right? I get this from so many event planners and folks that want to bring me in. And I say, we're in a different age right now. We're in the age of social media sensationalization, where I can grab a camera and a video and make myself look like an overnight star, just like that, right?
Wow.
And so when you're looking for someone to bring out to speak, teach, train, give you breakthrough success, the most important thing for me is experience and a track record. Experience and a track record. Those are two things that are very hard to fake. We live in an age where anyone can go on YouTube, study something real quick, and pretend they've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 odd years, right?
Yes,
and so the first thing I ask anybody is, are you Googleable? Meaning if I type your name in the search engine, what is going to pop up? Because you can't undo that track record. That's like me asking for tax transcripts from the IRS for what you filed for the last 7 years. You can't go back and undo what you already gave to them.
Yes.
So I tell anyone, if you're looking for someone to come into your event, you're looking for a speaker, a teacher, a trainer, a breakthrough specialist, or a coach, the very first thing I say is do your homework. Number two, are they Googleable? Meaning, is there a running track record? Do they have testimonials? I know right now I have over 200 plus video testimonials.
Wow.
From all the organizations I've spoken at, from GE, Anthem, Ford, Honda, the United States Postal Service, the United States Military, the Department of Defense, SHRM. So you have to look for the track record, right?
I will say this.
I'm sorry.
When I Googled you, I was so impressed by just the top level quality of sites that you appear on, the people that you've spoken alongside of. You've spoken overseas. You've spoken with Les Brown and other platinum speakers. I was just so impressed of and just how young you are and how you've accomplished so much in such a young age. That was very extremely impressive. And the sense that I get from you, and I don't just let anybody on our program, the sense I get from you is that you have a business that has a cause attached to it.
Yes.
I saw that you give back to the Urban League. You help mentor people. I saw also that you're in the prisons. You're teaching people in the prisons. Where do you find the time to do all this stuff? I mean, how do you have you're like unstoppable. Where do you find the time to do all this stuff?
Oh, well, that's a great question because I get that a lot. I get that a lot. Here's the thing. I got to bring the book out.
Yes.
I don't teach anything that I haven't followed myself. There's a lot of folks out there that can spit a lot of game, but don't follow the rules that they teach other people. When I say GPS my success, I've literally GPS my success. I was clear on what my calling was. And when I got clear on my calling, it made it easier to plot and plan and strategize on how to get from where I am to where I want to be. So I tell everybody, you have to be willing to GPS your success. You can have whatever it is you want in life, but there has to be a strategy behind it. If I look at any football game, the one thing I notice between every down, the offensive team goes into a huddle. Why? They're discussing a plan and a strategy to get us a minimum of 10 yards up the field, 10 yards up the field, 10 yards up the field until we get a first down and eventually a touchdown.
Yes.
So the goal for me was always, let's have a game plan. Let's have a strategy. But let's be clear on where we're trying to get to, because you understand with a GPS, I can say I want to go to 2200 Smith Street. But here in Cincinnati, Ohio, I can think of 5 Smith Streets off the top of my head. And the Smith Street I'm going to will really be based on if I know the zip code.
Mm.
The zip code dictates whether I get to my Smith Street in the upper echelon part of Cincinnati, Ohio, or I'm stuck somewhere in a war zone or a ghetto where I got to lock my doors because I'm afraid I'm going to get robbed or mugged. So you got to be clear about the direction. You got to be clear about it. So that's what's helped me out. I've always been clear.
One of my good friends and mentors, Dr. Ken Blanchard, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to read some of his stuff, but Dr. Blanchard always says this. He says, anything you want in life, you have to add structure to it.
Yes.
He says, you can have the greatest idea, but if you don't put structure to it, you'll never accomplish it. And so you're a transformation coach. You're a business strategist. You're a life strategist. Would you please share with us like a client success story, that someone that you've kind of helped out that is someone that you're really proud that you've helped out?
Gotcha. Well, one of the things I've learned is this, is seeds reproduce after their own kind. And so I tell people all the time that if you're in this field of work, you will draw to people a lot of times what you already are. So as a speaker, I draw a lot of people that are speakers, but those speakers come in what I call seed form. I'm holding a little bitty acorn seed, right?
Wow. You know,
and so a lot of people are in seed form. The issue being is there's a mighty oak tree locked inside of this, but in order for it to come out, it's got to be planted. It has to be planted. The transformation process does not start until it's planted. And so I remember going down to Atlanta, I want to say about 5 years ago, and I spoke at the Basars conference. And there was a young African-American lady that came up to me afterwards, and we talked for about a good hour and 30 minutes after the conference ended.
Wow.
And I told her what I saw inside of her. I saw the gift, I saw the talent, and it was waiting on her to do the transformation. The problem with being a speaker a lot of times is once you leave the environment, you may never run across these people again. So we're tasked with planting seed, but we don't know if the person took the seed and planted it. And she reached out to me on social media about a year ago and said, based on your message about discover your God-given gift and talent, I quit my job. I started a tax business. The tax business exploded. Now me and my husband have the tax business. And on top of all that, we started doing real estate. So now we're flipping houses. And so we're stepping into our wealthy season. And now I'm ready to jump into the speaking side of the fence. So I'm actually taking a young lady under my wing and I'm teaching her how to monetize and give powerful messages from the stage, even as we speak. So for me, that's a powerful testimony. There's so much greatness locked up inside of people. But sometimes people don't know their own greatness until they're exposed to another version of themselves.
Now, Brother Kareem, there's something that is happening right now. 15 years ago, 16 years ago, nobody knew what the internet was. Very few people, very few companies had it. So everything was type in, you get a response. Type in, you get a response. So we went from that to now people migrated to social media. So that iteration, it used to be Facebook, it kind of died down. Instagram kind of died down. Now things are going into TikTok and everything. Now we have more voice search. So now it's Alexa. We have these voice things. So there's coming a point in time where if you don't have content, I'm talking if you're a mom and pop bakery or down the street dry cleaner or you're a tax preparer, there's coming a time, and you know this, and you're above the curve here. if you first it was like typing in. If you don't have nothing in Google, you're not gonna rank. Then now the way Google gets its Alexa and all these voice activation searches, they only looking at for people that already have content online. So if you don't have any content online, they're not gonna find you. There's coming a point in time, and you see it happening. We never used to be on our smartphones like this. There's coming a point in time where nobody's gonna be typing anything anymore. It's just gonna be all voice. Where you're just going to be in your kitchen or in your shower and you're going to say, let me find a motivational speaker. And based on your rank, you're not going to be able to be found. So people that need to create content. And what you're doing is you're helping people, because becoming a speaker, you don't necessarily have to be just a one-way speaker.
That's right.
You need to be able to communicate so that when you go on these search engines, people will be able to find you. Why don't you tell everyone out there why it's very strategic for them to hire a master communicator like yourself so that they can build what I call a personal brand, and why that's not just a luxury, that is a necessity.
Number one, I love the question. I love questions like this because these are those deep questions. One of my favorite spiritual quotes out of the Book of Life says, deep calls unto deep, right? And so when you throw something deep has to come back out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an analogy. And I hopefully this is going to carry out, because you said something key. There's a transition going on, and either you're aware of it in this season or you are not. You're either aware or you're not. And so one of the things I love is this. Whenever I put an address in a GPS, the GPS is clear about where I want to get to. Unfortunately, I can get distracted while I'm driving, make a wrong turn, and get off the beaten pathway, right? The problem is this. the GPS will never give up on the intended address that was put inside of it at the beginning of the journey. So if I make a left turn instead of a right turn by accident because I got distracted and I'm going 5 miles in the wrong direction, the GPS doesn't give up. It doesn't call me names or make me feel bad or say, hey, stupid, you're going the wrong way. Hey, dummy, turn around. It just says recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. Because of the changes that we're dealing with, and these are more pronounced now in this season than ever before, many people, their goals don't change. They just have to recalculate how they get to the finish line. You got to rethink how you get there, because if you don't rethink, you'll be much like the dinosaurs that went extinct, right? And so the idea being is the reason why you want to master communicator, because the art of communication is everything. The art of communication is everything. I don't care whether you want to speak on stages and inspire and motivate people, or you're trying to grow your brand, or you're trying to get that next level of leadership in corporate America. If you can't effectively communicate who you are, what you do, what you have to offer of value, and how you can be of a service to those around you, you will always rank in last place. And like I said, with things changing so quickly, it's either you're going to recalculate how you get to your fantastic finish line, or my friend, you're going to be left at home. Simple as that.
Yes. It's either you get on board or you get left behind, right?
Yes.
And tell me about what do you feel is the meaning of life? What is your philosophy in terms of the meaning of life?
Mm. So for me, and my definition is probably going to be different than everyone else. My definition comes out of a Mark Twain quote, which says the two most important days of your life is the day you're born and the day you discover why. And I love Huckleberry Friend. Don't get me wrong. But I think the quote got cut too short. I believe there's three important days of your life. The day you're born, the day you discover why, and then the day you decide to walk after it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're watching this podcast right now, you're watching this interview, congratulations, you passed the first test. You're here. You made it into this planet. You were one of 5 million sperm that won the womb race 5,000. You beat out all the other fast swimmers, so you made it to the egg. So you're here. That's number one. Number two, most of you have some sort of idea why you're here. You got some sort of idea of what you're supposed to be doing, be it by your gift, your talent, or what you're passionate about. Because a lot of times your passion precedes your purpose. But understand, you can know what you're here to do, but then fail to walk in it. Mm-hmm. When I took this journey at 26, the reason why it took me 26 years to do it, because I kept telling myself, God made a mistake. There's no way in the world you're calling me to go inspire and speak all over the world on all of these stages when I felt like I didn't have the right educational background. I didn't come from the right side of the tracks. At some stages, I felt like maybe I didn't look the right part. I didn't have, as Les Brown says, the complexion of connection. There were so many reasons why I argued for my own limitation to God told me, I have given you everything you need. Mm. I've given you a gift of communication. I've given you charisma. I've given you talent. I've given you everything you need, but you have to believe in the gift. Until you believe in why you're here, you'll continue to keep doing what you're doing and getting the same mediocre comfort zone related results. So for me, the meaning of life is number one, understanding I'm here. I'm here for a purpose, on purpose, by purpose, knocked up a purpose. I'm supposed to give birth to something. Number two, I got to discover when it's time to go on labor and deliver. And then number three, I got to embrace what I'm supposed to be birthing out there to the world. I can't let someone else take my powerful position. I got to do what I've been put here to do.
Wow. Now, you've traveled the world. You've spoken in numerous stages, gotten a standing ovation from Les Brown. What is something that you've gotten a chance to do that, because, you know, that you put in the work that you're, that you said, oh my goodness, I never thought I would be doing this. What is that one thing that just blew your mind away?
I think the one thing that blew my mind away wasn't the speaking. Because to be honest with everyone, I'm an introvert. And people don't get that. Like, how are you an introvert?
You?
I'm an introvert. I grew up pretty much an introvert because I got in trouble for talking too much. And so I had a negative association with the gift of communication. And so the thing that blew my mind the most wasn't the fact that I was on stages speaking. It was the response I got from folks after I spoke. The heartfelt appreciation for saying, this is what I needed to make it through my day. I've talked to folks and not knew they're on the verge of committing suicide. I've talked to folks who are on the verge of divorce. I've talked to folks on the verge of financial bankruptcy. I've talked to folks that have been laid off, let go. I've talked to leaders that got assigned leadership roles and wasn't sure how they're going to run their teams or run their organization. I've talked to displaced CEOs. I have talked to so many different people from so many different walks of life, and to receive the level of appreciation across the board, regardless of genre, religious belief, leadership title, education, the fact that it comes universally. And I feel like there's so many things that we're divided on, and we don't pay attention to the things that actually unite us as a species, right? We all chase green and we all bleed red, but a lot of times we lose sight of it. I've been blessed in a season that God has put me into arenas that color's never been a factor or a barrier. Education's never been a factor or a barrier. I'm living my purpose, and it's blessing the human life. And that to me is the thing that blew me away the most. It still blows me away the most.
I feel like all I need to do right now is give a benediction. You're killing it, brother. You're absolutely, you're on fire right now. By the way, I just want you to know that. And what is the best? Well, before I get into that, I want to do something to take a little detour. What do you do to like relax and have fun and just let your hair down?
Oh, wow. So I recently got married. So that right there, that is relaxation. That's meditation. That is everything that you could ask for, all wrapped up into one. Because a lot of times when you chase your purpose, and this is something I think everybody needs to understand, I believe that when you're put here, your purpose is your main reason for being here. Mm. And a lot of times, because we don't understand that, we chase everything else except for purpose. If I chase my purpose, I believe that everything else God wants me to have is attached to my purpose. Mm. So if I chase my purpose properly, the wealth that I need to be successful, that's attached to it. I tell people money is the reward for solving the problem. Your purpose has a certain problem to solve. So if you don't like what you're making right now, you ain't solving the right thing 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. You need to switch that up. So for me, in chasing my purpose, everything that I've asked God for was attached to it, from the family life to being able to travel all over the world. That was always a dream of mine. The financial blessing I have, where I have a debt-free lifestyle. There's not too many people I know that can say, I don't have a mortgage or car notes or all that stuff like that. So the byproduct of walking in your purpose is living an absolutely blessed life. So for me, that has to be it. It has to be it.
And you, do you have the opportunity now to just full-time coach, full-time speaker? Is that what you do full-time right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, and I tell people, well, here's the thing. It didn't happen overnight. Like I said, I've been in the game for a while. But again, that's why you have to GPS your success. You got to understand, a GPS maps out a strategy to get you to where you're going. It just don't drive down streets and say, I think we're going to turn right. I think we're going to turn left. It has specific instructions of what we're going to do from street by street, minute by minute, hour by hour, to get you at your fantastic finish line. So when you know where you're going, when you got an idea where you're going, it becomes easier to create a strategy or a roadmap to get there. Absolutely.
Wow, that's beautiful. What's the best advice you've ever received as a person?
The best advice I ever received has to come from the mentor. It has to come from Les Brown, right? And the way I got Les Brown was using, again, a scripture. Scripture says, your gifts will place you before powerful people. Mm. And what a lot of people fail to understand, that scripture didn't say your education. It didn't say your handsome good looks or your sexy bald head. Or for the women out there, your 36, 26, 36. It didn't say your money would do it. It said your gift will make room for you and put you before powerful people. That means there's certain areas of opportunity you will never have access to until you discover your gift, which was given to you since you came onto this planet. And so I told him, the way I pulled you in, the way I got that standing ovation, I spoke at an event, caught his attention, using my gift. I had a mic drop moment where I gave a powerful speech and dropped the mic and walked off. And he stood up and just started to clap. And before you know it, 400 people stood up starting to clap. And I thought that's what got me in the door. And he said, it's not necessarily that. Your gift caught my attention. But he said, never let your character take you someplace that it can't sustain you. Mm. Never let your character carry you to an arena where it can't sustain you. In other words, there are NFL champion quarterbacks that never got the light of day because their character put them in a situation where they're in prison right now and they never got their shot. There's politicians that could have changed the face of this planet because they got caught up in scandal and couldn't control their character. They never got a chance to implement the very things that God put them there to implement. So the idea is this, gift will take you so far, but your character is the thing that will sustain you and keep you on that level for a lifetime. Your legacy is remembered by your character.
Wow, that I think we just let that pause. That is such a deep statement you've made on so many levels. Like, listen Absolutely. To what this brother is saying, y'all. He's dropping some knowledge on us right now. And I put myself in that category, okay? Mm. Also, what's the worst advice you've ever received?
The worst advice I ever received. I've gotten so much over the years, right? The worst advice I ever received was someone told me as a speaker what I should talk about. Mm. And let me be clear on this. I want to explain this, why this is so important. Mm-hmm. When I started out in the speaking industry, I didn't start as a breakthrough coach. I didn't start as a breakthrough strategist. This is before John Maxwell team. This is before speaking to all these Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies. I started my journey as a real estate investor. And so people were asking me to teach real estate. And I was doing it. I was teaching folks how to make money in real estate, but I wasn't happy. Mm. I was happy to use my gift of communication because your gift comes alive in the right environment. Like I said earlier, this seed only grows when it's planted in good soil, in the right soil. It can't just grow in my hand. So when your gift is exposed to the right environment, it's going to blow. It's going to fire off.
Like fertilizer.
But the problem being was I wasn't given the type of harvest. The fruit wasn't blossoming the way it's supposed to blossom. And someone said, well, you need to ramp up and teach folks how to be a real estate guru because you made so much money starting out doing that. And I had to follow my passion because I said earlier, your passion is shadowed by your purpose. If you can figure out the things you're passionate about, the things that keep you up at night, the conversations you love to talk about 24/7, the programs that come on where you know you got to be somewhere in 10 minutes and you can't turn the TV off. You're just waiting for a commercial break, but you just like, I gotta finish it. That lets you know a little bit of why you are here. Mm. And so the worst advice I got was someone tried to steer me in the speaking industry to stay in a lane that I knew I wasn't passionate about. You have to be true to yourself. We get one time on this planet. Mm. We get one life on this planet. And on your deathbed, you don't want to look back over your life with a bunch of regrets of what you should have, could have, would have done had you jumped into the driver's seat of your destiny. Mm. And grab the keys versus sitting there and letting someone else grab the keys and you ride shotgun. Wow. Most of us are guilty of riding shotgun when it comes to chasing our goals and dreams versus grabbing the car keys and saying, I'm getting behind the wheel. Most of us are guilty of it.
I love that. And don't think I didn't see you low key flexing with the Porsche key.
Listen, we got to let them know how we doing over here.
This is a little flex. This is a little flex.
Success, you can get whatever you want. Listen.
Work hard, you play hard. I'm a big believer in that. But that was a flex, though. I saw that. Now, I do this towards the end of our program. Mm-hmm. I want you to think about you're on your deathbed. Mm. And you have your loved ones, those that you care about the most, they're there.
Okay.
And they're talking about you. They're eulogizing you. What do you want in the final analysis? What do you want the world to know about you coming here, your life here on this planet?
I'm glad you said it because I wanted to mention this earlier about that journey at 26. And so I'm going to refrain. I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to refrain and go back to that so folks understand where this all really came from. Right. And so at the age of 26, when I lost it all. When I say lost it all, I mean I lost it all. Everything you can think that you'd have was gone. Hmm. I got so depressed that I had started having thoughts of suicide. I thought about taking my own life because I saw no value in me.
Wow.
And so I remember before I went to bed that night, I remember crying out to God, tears in my eyes. And I said, if you can give me any reason why I should stick around, let me know. If you can't give me any valid reason why I should stick around and continue this race called life, I don't see a reason to be here. And so that night when I went to sleep, I had the most vivid dream I've ever had in my life on this planet. It was me at my own funeral. Oh. And so I'm looking at myself in the casket. And it wasn't me in the casket that blew my mind. The thing that blew my mind the most was it was so many people inside the church that the overflow section went all the way out to the street and around the block.
Wow.
All the way down the street. Cars waiting to get in.
Wow.
And I remember asking God, what am I looking at? And he said, the reason why you're supposed to keep moving on, because this is part of your purpose. At the time you leave this planet, this is the level of impact you're going to have to the people that I'm going to put you in front of all over the world.
Wow.
That was the thing that changed the trajectory of my life and started me on the pathway to GPS my success. See, when you understand the reason why you're here, everything changes.
Wow.
You know the reason why you've been put here. You don't have to second guess. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to have materialistic things to make yourself feel important. You don't have to have the right person on your arm. You don't have to have the right job title, the right bank account. When you know the reason why you've been created and put on this planet and the reason for your existence, the trajectory of your life changes. Because for the first time, you can start to actually seek out what's needed for the journey versus what's called crowd approval, which is trying to meet up and blend in with the Joneses of the world and trying to keep up with the social media fanfare. Most of us, like Les said, lives a misplaced life until you discover your reason why. So when I fast forward in my life and I see myself there, I'm going to say, good job. Well done. You ran the race the way you're supposed to run it. You lived full. You died empty. You shared your gift with everyone. You left the legacy of seed behind that will always be remembered. And I'm going to love seeing traffic backed up all around the city because so many people are going to be there just to wish me well on the next stage of the journey. Absolutely.
I love that. I love that. And while you were talking, I had chills running down my spine. And I think of these words, good purpose saves. But in your situation, God's purpose saves.
Yes.
God's purpose. Absolutely. Life saved your life. And that is the most profound thing. Now, we like to do something. What's the best way if people wanted to reach out for you for coaching or for speaking? What's the best way someone can reach out to you?
Yeah. So we got two different emails I'm going to toss out there at them. If you're looking for coaching, shoot an email to coach me. One word, coach me. And that's at KareemEllis.com. KareemEllis.com. If you're looking to book me to bring me in because you need a leadership presentation, breakthrough, something along those lines, then you can shoot an email to info@KareemEllis.com. And I want to separate the two because I want to be clear about, you know, what you're approaching on.
Exactly.
I tell people all the time, the quality of the question determines the quality of the result. So I want to make sure that the right questions are going to the right spot so I can give the right intended answer. Absolutely.
I love that. And look into the camera. We're facing a very tumultuous time right now.
Yes.
Someone's listening to this that just found out they got laid off. Someone's listening to this that need a coach. They know that in order to get to the next level. Michael Jordan was the greatest player of all time. He didn't become the greatest player until he had Phil Jackson. You know, Angelo Dundee, before he met Muhammad Ali, was the champion of the world. We all need coaches. We need people to come along ourselves. LeBron James had to come down to Miami, which is my favorite basketball team, by the way, and get coached by Coach Riley and Coach Spoelstra to become a world champion. So we all need coaches.
Sure.
So look into that. And I want you to just for the next 10 seconds, speak to that person and tell them, don't give up. It's too hard to quit.
Okay. So what I'm going to say is this, and I don't know if I can give them 10 seconds on that, man. That's a loaded question. I don't want to cheapen the experience of someone that's on the verge of giving up. Because I'm going to be honest with you. When I was ready to give up at 26 and someone said, I'm going to give you 10 seconds, I'm going to be angry. I'm like, wait, I've been going through living hell. You better give me more than 10 seconds, right? So what I'm going to say is this. Is there's three philosophies. There's three principles I lived by to turn my life around when I was on the verge of giving up. And that's something I call the VSM matrix, And that stands for vision, strategy, and mentorship. Vision, strategy, and mentorship. The first way not to give up is to be clear on what it is you want in life. And a lot of people that's willing to give up, they have no vision. We go back to the Great Depression, where we heard the horror stories of execs who lost it all, stocks crashed, and they lost it all, and they're jumping out of 40-story windows. The reason why they're jumping out, because they believe they hit the apex of their life. There's nowhere else to go but down. So I'd rather take my life in this stage of the game, because I don't see glory beyond this. Number one, there's always another chapter to the book called your life. There's always another chapter to the book called your life. The issue being is you can't get tired of reading the book. You have to be willing to pick up the next chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter. And chapters are being written by you based on your decision to move forward or your decision to close the book and call it quits. So number one, you got to get a clear vision of who you are and what it is you want in the midst of setback. But then number two, let's get clear on the strategy. Let's get clear on the strategy. Even though we're in a setback season, there's not a drop in finances. There's still the same amount of money, if not more, circling this planet right now than ever before. The reason why it seems like it's so elusive, because folks are using outdated strategies to create their wealth. We said that earlier. We're in a time of complicated change. And so I have to be willing to adapt, or as I say in the book, I have to be willing to recalculate to get to my finish line. And then number three, who's the mentor? Who's the person who's pouring into you, who's going to help you get to your finish line quicker and faster? My success came because I knew my gift and talent. I had vision. I knew the strategy. But most importantly, I sought out the right coach and the right mentor. Why? Because like you said earlier, the quote from Michael Jordan, put it this way. I'm a product of the 80s. And so I grew up playing the original Nintendo system, right? And one of my favorite games was Super Mario Brothers. And the way you beat the game quicker is you would use warp zones. You jump down one pipe and you skip from board one to board four. Jump down another pipe and skip from board four to board seven and then board eight. And then boom, you beat the game in 30 minutes versus playing the game for 5 hours. Mentors allow you to warp towards your finish line quicker and faster because you're getting all the accumulated wisdom, knowledge, all the victories. But most importantly, the setbacks and defeats, the things they went through that caused them setback and struggle. You're getting to circumvent around that because you're picking and applying that knowledge. And you can get mentors one of two ways. You can hire a mentor or coach, or you can crack open a book and read, get a mentor or coach from a distance. But you have to know, number one, what's the vision? Where am I going to? What's the strategy? And most importantly, what's the mentor? As long as those things are your purpose, you have a reason to get up every day and write a new chapter in that book called your life. But the decision is up to you. Solely up to you.
Wow. Whew. Where there is no vision, the people perish and cast off all restraints.
Yes.
We have to have a vision. Now, for us speakers and communicators, it's hard for us to give one-word answers.
Yes.
But I'm going to ask you to give a one-word answer to this.
Okay.
So here it is. So these questions, you just have to give one. It's a game that we play called One and Done.
Uh-oh.
So the trick is you can't use more than one word.
More than one word. Gotcha.
Okay.
That's a challenge for us.
I know. Because we like to matriculate and attriculate.
Yeah, we like to go in explanation mode.
Enunciate and pronunciate.
Gotcha.
That's what we do. That's my granny used to say that I have the gift of mouth, right? Whatever that means, you know.
That means you talk too much. That's the same thing. Listen, I tell people, my senior year, I was voted most talkative. It's in my yearbook. So I knew this gift was going to pay off one day, right? I missed enough recesses and got enough swats growing up.
Your gift, it says your gift will make room for you and put you in front of a lot of mighty men, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
What is the first thing you grab when you wake up in the morning?
Cell phone.
What is the first thing people notice about you?
Energy.
Biggest weakness?
Negative people. I hate it.
Biggest strength?
Woo! I wasn't ready for that one. I'm going to say biggest strength for me is going to be love. Love.
The ideal age to be?
40.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Best friend?
My wife.
Place you would like to visit before you leave this planet?
Dubai.
Beaches or snow?
Beaches.
Personality trait you have no time for?
Negativity.
What does someone have to do to instantaneously get on Kareem's good side?
Smile.
Is it ever okay to lie to someone in order to protect their feelings?
Yes. And I would love to explain that once we finish. There's a reason why I say yes.
Okay. What's your vice?
Sweets.
If you had a choice between love or money, what would you pick?
Love.
Ooh, that was a long pause.
Yeah, well, again, we're speakers, so we always got room to checklist on why we say what we say.
Books or magazines?
Books.
And coffee or tea?
Coffee.
What's your love language?
My love language is affection. Gifts of affection.
What brings you ultimate happiness in life?
Purpose.
You're stranded on an island, and you can only take one thing with you on that island. What would you take? Can't be a cell phone.
You know I was going there, right? Wife.
No, but it has to be like a physical thing.
Oh,
it comes automatically. She's going to be there automatically. She's going to be there automatically.
One thing I'm going to take with me. All right. Bible.
Wow. I thought you'd say food. Well, Mark Twain, we both like Mark Twain. He said the greatest gift someone can give is to give a portion of thine self. Yes. Thank you, Brother Kareem, for giving a portion of yourself. It has been, as my mentor and your mentor, we're cut from the same cloth.
Yes.
It's been a plum pleasing pleasure and a privilege to be in your presence. I feel like you are someone that has answered the call. Because all of us have an opportunity to answer our call and the call for our generation. Yes. You've taken on the mantle. You've taken on the calling for this generation to be a champion of hope, to be a voice of victory, and to be what I like to call a wounded healer. Someone that has experienced wounds in their own life, but use those wounds instead of to hurt other people, but in order to heal other people. Thank you for sharing your light with our audience. Thank you for sharing your light with me. Ladies and gentlemen, please reach out to KareemEllis.com. This is one of the most exciting and most purest speakers that we have right now in the United States and effectively the world. He is here for you. He has the right team and the right organization and structure to be of assistance to you. He is highly, highly recommended by Les Brown. I can't tell you. When you get a cosign from someone like that, they say you judge a man by the company he keeps, and he keeps very good company. Brother Kareem, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And as we bring this thing to a close, I got one last thing to say.
You have arrived at your destination.
Woo! We've never had sound effects like that.
There we go. We've arrived.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's dropped a sound effect on us. Come on! That was awesome.
Thank you.
It has been a pleasure and a privilege. Please go to GibsonSylvester.com/podcast to find out more about this podcast and also to browse helpful resources that will help you in your personal and business life. Thank you very much.